21st Psalm, Psalm 121. Probably would help if I had my Bible. Psalm 478 in the pew Bible there. Or the chair Bible or whatever you want to call it. Psalm 121 simply says this: I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this beautiful morning that you've given us. I thank you for this opportunity that we have to come out into this place this morning, Father, to sing praises to you and to open your word for a little while. I thank you for your word, and thank you for the freedom that we still have to gather together like this. I just pray for all those who aren't here for whatever reason, and just pray that your hand will be upon this service, so whatever is said and done will bring honor and glory to you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. 121st Psalm. You know, I really enjoy preaching from the Psalms, and if not from one specific one, then I like plugging them in every now and then into a sermon, because pretty much no matter what you're trying to speak about or talk about, there's a psalm that will at least say something about it. And, you know, I was trying to think of what to speak on this morning, and in light of recent events, I couldn't help but keep coming back to this psalm. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said it in a joking manner, but when you stop and think about it, it really, it's not much of a joke, because it's kind of true. I said that Washington, D.C. is pretty much just going crazy, and it seems like every day you turn the news on and there's something else that's going on. Of course, the government is shut down currently, and there's, I don't know how the exact number, but there's so many people that are without a job right now, without pay. Some are having to work without getting paid. They're just having to work for free, basically, right now. And you see people that are just losing their minds and going into their work places of work and shooting people or putting their babies in the back seat and driving through Washington, D.C., trying to bust through the gates of the White House. And, I mean, it's just one thing after the other. But, you know, there is one that I serve, and I hope you serve too, that never shuts down. There's never a day that goes by, as this verse says, that he sleeps. There's never a day that goes by that that he will be off duty. And truly, as the first verse of this psalm says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Never before have we needed help before, I feel, than what we do now. We see if you look at a lot of Bibles, we'll have different subscripts or different little titles above the different psalms. This particular one says that it's simply a song of degrees, or what that actually means is it's a psalm that people would sing as they journeyed along on their way to Jerusalem to participate in the annual feast, the Passover, the Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles. And of course, they didn't have the transportation means as we do now. They couldn't just get on a bus. They couldn't get on a plane or a train and travel to Jerusalem. They would have to walk. And so it would take, you know, many of them, it would take for several days, weeks even, to make these journeys. And along the way, they would sing these songs to kind of help keep them going, keep them motivated. And this is one of those ones that they would sing. And I can just, in my mind, I can picture, you know, a group of people walking down a dusty road singing, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills," as they walk to Jerusalem. And so we see that another way or another title, if you could, that you could give this song is simply, as it says in my Bible, the traveler psalm or the pilgrim song. And truly all of us are on a journey. Whether you realize it or not, you're on a journey through this life and this earth. And you're walking down, just as these people were, a dusty road that's full of trouble. Full of trouble. And yet one day we will reach our goal. And that, of course, is heaven. We see that verse 1 is not necessarily a declaration of hope. He's not saying, "I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help," out of hope, but really it's a cry of despair. You see, the psalmist is telling us that there's danger literally lurking all around us. And there's danger, as we see, lurking all around us, ready to pounce on the weary traveler, just as these folks were traveling back at this time. And of course, to the traveler, they might say, "Well, you know, I have no hope." But just as something can come out of the shadows and harm them, there's help above them that can swoop down and pull them right out of it. So we see that if I were to give a title to this message this morning, it would simply be, "Hang on, because help is coming." You know, I couldn't help but think of an illustration about this psalm and about that title. My mind kept going back to a 911 operator. And you might think that's a little odd, but if you've ever had to call 911 in an emergency, you'll know that you don't simply call them and tell them what you want and then hang up. They always tell you to stay on the line in case they need further information, in case the police officer, the fireman, whatever, cannot find you. So they always tell you to hang on. Help is on its way, but hang on for just a little longer. As I've already said, all of us that have claimed Christ as our Savior are truly pilgrims, just as these children of God were at this time that this psalm was written. We're all pilgrims on a journey. We all go through trials and tribulations, and truly at this time in our country, especially in this area, you can look all around and see those trials and tribulations. I had dinner with some friends of ours, Friday night, in fact. One of them is a U.S. Marshal, and he's considered essential personnel, but he's not being paid right now. But yet he's having to go to work every day. The other is a paralegal, and although she's working right now, she's probably going to be furloughed fairly soon. Many of you have met my girlfriend Alex. She works for a government organization as well, and I think they said that they have funding saved up through the 15th of this month. After the 15th, if things aren't fixed, then they're furloughed. Just where I work, you know, before, when all this was getting ready to happen, they told us as military, of course, we don't have an option of whether we can go to work or not. You know, some folks are saying, "Well, if I'm not getting paid, I'm not going to work," being civilian. But being military, if you're not getting paid, you still have to go to work, or you'll end up in a little place called Leavenworth, turning big rocks into little rocks, as they say. But they said that we weren't going to get paid either. But of course, that fortunately was changed, and we were able to get paid, at least for now. But you know, we don't have any, all of our civilians at our own base are no longer working. So those of us who are still there are working twice as hard. But anyways, I say all that to say this: there are a lot of folks who are in trouble right now. There are a lot of folks that depend on that paycheck to pay their bills, to provide food for their families. And so many of them would say that they are going through this trial, going through this valley. And perhaps many of them don't even know where to look for help. So let's look at this passage just for a few minutes. We're going to look at how God can help us. We're going to look at the different ways he can help us. But we're just simply going to look at it together. Because truly he is the source of our help. And that's my first point this morning. God is truly our source of help. Starting in verse 2, simply says, "My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." First of all, we can see that God not only is our source of help, but that he is the creator. Our source of help is simply the creator. We see that the psalmist knew that his help would not come from the hills. You know, some, especially during this time, looked at those things in nature. And they worshiped those things in nature, the sun, the moon, the stars, the things around them. And the psalmist looked, as verse 1 says, to the hills. But he wasn't looking to the hills for help, but he knew that the one who created the hills that were around him was the one who would help him. We see also that the psalmist knew where to turn in the time of help. He knew the real source of his help was in Almighty God. And he wasn't referring to a friend or an ally, but to the creator of the universe. You know how amazing that is, that the very one who created everything that you see around you is on your side. He's standing right beside you. As that song says, every cry that you cry, he hears. Every tear he sees. And he's there to help you. So we see that the very one who so long ago, back in Genesis 1, when it says that before the earth and the things of the world were created, there was simply nothing. We see that the very one who stood on nothing and looked over and said, you know, I think I'm going to create a world. I'm going to create the things that are in the world. The animals, the plants, the water. We see that very same one who did all that and who is so powerful, all-powerful, omnipotent, as it's referred to, is walking right beside us. He's walking through that valley no matter what you may be going through. Maybe no one knows about it except you and God. Maybe you think, well, you know, my trouble is not that big. I look around and I see folks who are hurting and are going through so much more than I'm going through that my problem doesn't really matter, so I'm just going to hold on to it and I'm going to deal with it on my own. That's not what we're supposed to do. The Bible says to cast all of your cares. It doesn't say just cast the cares that are so big that you can't carry them on your own. It says cast all of your cares upon Christ. So we see that the very creator of the universe is our source of help. We also see that God is not only our creator, but he's our confirmer. Verse 3 says that he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. This verse tells us that the Lord will not allow our foot to slip. That's what that means when it says suffer thy foot to be moved. He won't even allow our foot to slip. You see, because God knows how easy it is for us to slip into sin. I talked last time I was here about the old man and how we are to take the old man off just like an old set of clothes and put on the new man or the new set of clothes. And God knows that it's easy for us in our human nature because no matter how long you've been saved, you still have a human nature deep down inside. And no matter how long you've been saved and how good of a Christian you think you are, Satan still tempts you. And he's still going to put something in front of you because all of us have, maybe it's just one thing, maybe it's a bunch of things, but all of us have at least one thing that we struggle with that from our old past that Satan knows that it's there. And he knows that he can dangle that in front of you and say, here, look at this. Do this. So God knows how easy for us it is to slip into sin and discouragement because he lived on this earth. He put on this flesh, he knew. And the Bible says that he was tempted just as we are, but yet, unlike us, he did it without sin. But we also must remember that he is ever with us and he has promised to sustain us with his presence and our power. We also need to remember that the Lord has never made a house that fell, nor a foundation that crumbled. There'll be times when we feel like giving up and giving in, but we need to realize that he's lifted us, as the song says, from the miry clay of this world. The Bible tells us that he's established our goings, our comings, our goings. We're constantly being reinforced by his hand. Constantly being reinforced by his hand. See, what this simply means is that we can count on the Lord to help us along the way. In fact, the New Testament says that right before Jesus ascended back into heaven, he says that he would send a comforter. And of course, that comforter is the Holy Spirit. For those of us who are Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. So we have the person of God and the Holy Spirit living within us to help us along the way, to assist us in our journey, as I've already talked about that journey. So we see that he's the creator, he's our confirmer. We also see that the last part of verse 3 and verse 4 says that he is our constant helper. We see that end of verse 3 says that he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Not only does the Lord know that it's easy for us to slip, he also knows that it's easy for us to sleep. We as Christians in this world at times can get so caught up in the world that sometimes we fall asleep to what's going on around us. You know, our human body needs sleep. The way our body is created, we can't go on indefinitely without sleep. There, you know, you can go so long without sleep before your body just simply starts to shut down. We see that there is one, as the psalmist says, who doesn't slumber, he doesn't sleep. You see, there are times, you know, my mind goes back to basic training with the Air Force. We, at night, when everyone was sleeping, we had we took turns and took shifts with folks standing guard. And, you know, no one was going to break in, or at least no one who wasn't supposed to be there was going to break in. But it was just one of those things that to test us and to teach us different things. And if I remember right, I think there were 2, maybe 3 hour shifts that people would do, 2 at a time, 2 folks at a time. And they would do, you know, walk around the dorm and basically just stand guard. And I remember one night our drill instructor decided he would sneak in the back door. So he snuck in the back door and quietly walked through where all of our bunk beds were. Walked around front, and he saw the 2 guys who were supposed to be on guard. One of them leaned against the wall asleep, and one of them laying flat on the floor asleep. He flipped all the lights on, tripped the fire alarm. All of us went running out the door, and he stood at the door and said, "If I were the enemy," he said, "every single one of you would be dead right now because your guards are asleep." It's human nature for us to want to sleep when we get tired, when we get weary. And many of us, the things that we go through, the trials, they can wear us down. You know, as I said, it seems like every time you turn on the news in the past few weeks, there's been something else that's happened. And, you know, I talk to folks and they're like, "Oh, did you hear about this that happened?" I'm like, "No, I didn't hear about that one. That's a new one on me." And so there's just, you know, so many thing after thing that's just happening all around us in our troubled world. And after a time, if you let it get to you, it can really just wear you down. Those that are without work right now, without pay, those that are not really sure where their food's going to come from tomorrow, not really sure if they're going to be able to pay rent next week or tomorrow. And, you know, at times they can get tired. At times they can get weary. But it may be our nature and our human nature to want to sleep through those things, but the Bible tells us that the one who walks with us never sleeps. He's always there, constantly standing guard. I came across a story of an elderly woman who who lived in London during World War II. We see that during World War II in London, that the Germans bombed London almost every night, or at least a different part of London every night. And after one terrible attack, we see that the people of the community were searching all around the rubble of the houses that had been knocked down for anyone who might have survived, because it looked like with all the houses that were destroyed that there surely wasn't anyone that could have survived such a terrible attack. So mainly what they were looking for was the bodies of the ones that they knew that were in those houses when those bombs fell. After a while, they had found all all the ones that they were looking for, either dead or alive, except for one. She was an elderly woman named Mrs. Smith, and they searched everywhere for her high and low, and finally someone found her in her bedroom, because her bedroom was one of the only rooms in her house that wasn't touched by the bomb. Her pictures were still up on the walls. Her lamps were still on the table. Looked like there had been a shield all around her bedroom, and yet the rest of her house had been completely destroyed. They found her in her bedroom, in her bed, asleep. As peaceful and content as could be, just asleep. They woke her up in shock and disbelief and said, "Mrs. Smith, how could you sleep with all those bombs dropping all around you?" And her answer was one that I thought was pretty good. She said, "Well, the Bible says that he who keeps Israel never sleeps nor slumbers. So I decided there was no use in both of us staying up. So I just went to sleep and left the rest of it in the Lord's hands." You know, how amazing to have the kind of faith that this woman had, to sleep when the bombs were falling all around you, knowing, having faith that God would keep her and protect her through that. You know, hopefully none of us will have to face something as terrible as bombs falling on our homes. But as I've already said, the Bible doesn't tell us that only those problems that we think are so big or so hard are the ones that God cares about. The Bible tells us that He cares about everything, that we should cast all of our care upon Him. The Bible tells us that He knows and sees when a little sparrow falls from its nest to the ground. How much greater are you in the eyes of the Lord than a little sparrow that was in its nest? So we've looked at the source of our help. I want to look now briefly at the strength of our help. Verse 5 says, "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand." First of all, we see that He protects us from our enemies. Verse 5 tells us that the Lord is our shade upon the right hand. In ancient times, we read that warriors carried two items into battle. One, in one hand they carried their sword, and in the other hand they carried their shield. Normally the shield was carried by the left hand and the sword by the right. This meant that the right hand was vulnerable to attack, since there was no shield of protection, because they had a shield in one hand, but their sword, their hand was open on the handle of that sword. So we see that the right hand was vulnerable to attack, since there was no way to protect it. So the psalmist tells us in this verse that the Lord is the shade upon the right hand. So this is a picture of a warrior at this time with a shield on the left and a sword on the right, with no form of protection on that right hand. But he says that the Lord is that protection on the right hand. You see, he tells us that God takes up a deliberate defensive position to protect us when we're most vulnerable. You see, we never know where our attacks will come from. Sometimes we find ourselves attacked in areas that we're weak. I've already talked about how Satan knows exactly what to put in front of us to tempt us, to get us to fall. He knows our weak points. He knows all about those weaknesses, and other times we may find that we're attacked in areas where we're the strongest. We see that Elijah in the Bible was renowned for his courage, yet he ran from an evil woman named Jezebel. We see that Moses was known for his meekness, and yet in anger, when the children of Israel were crying to him and complaining to him for water, when God told him to talk to this rock in the wilderness to have water come out of it, he got angry and he hit it with his staff. And because of this, of course, we know that he was forbidden from entering the promised land. We also see that one of Abraham's greatest strengths was his faith, yet he went into Egypt in pure unbelief. So we see that these great, in our minds and in our what we've been taught, these great men of the Bible, who it seems like their strongest points were the ones that tempted them the most, or at least that we know about the most. So you see, the whole point is that we will be attacked. The Bible tells us that our adversary walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We never know where it's going to come from, whether it's going to attack something that's going to be easy to get to us, or whether it's going to be attacking something that we have that is one of our strengths, but that never catches God off guard. It can come as a surprise to us, but as the word says, the Lord never sleeps. He's that shade upon our right hand. He's always ready to shield us and protect us. We see that he protects us from our enemies. Verse 6 tells us, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. So we see that not only does he protect us from our enemies, but he protects us from the elements. The psalmist speaks of two possible sources of harm that at this time were common to the ancient soldier. One was sunstroke, which we know about today, or as, you know, of course, heat stroke and things like that. And of course, it's a dangerous condition. The body becomes overheated. And once it happens, it simply begins to shut down. And you become delirious. And if it goes untreated, you can die. The other is one that may not be as familiar to us, but at this time in history, folks referred to it as moonstroke. You see, it was believed by people at this time, ancient people at this time, as to be just as dangerous as heatstroke or sunstroke. But unlike sunstroke, which affects the body and causes the body to fail, at this time they believed that the moonstroke attacked the mind. You see, in ancient times, mental illness was thought to be caused by the moon. This is where we get the word lunatic from, the word lunar for moon. That's where we get the word lunatic from, because they thought that crazy people were crazy because of the moon. It's where ancient stories of things like werewolves came from and things like that. So we see that the whole idea of this verse is God protects us, both our body and our mind, from anything that can come against us, because we are subject to attacks, not only on our body, but also on our mind. You know, there's things when you look at modern warfare, you see that attacks and battles are not only planned through attacks, you know, as conventional warfare, through as I've already talked about, dropping of bombs, through ground troops, but they also practice mental warfare as well, and they attack in psychological warfare, and they try to attack the enemy's mind by sending propaganda, by doing different things to attack the enemy's mind, because if you can weaken the enemy's mind, then you can get him to a point where he's like, I'm ready to give up before you even fire a shot. So that we see whether the attack is open or whether it's in secret, because sometimes when things are coming against us, folks around us can see it. When we're going through a trial, when something happens, when we experience loss, when we experience death, when we experience a health problem, financial problem, folks around us, for the most part, can see it, and they know that something is happening. But when we're experiencing attacks on the mind, when Satan attacks us from the inside, and he gives us thoughts that are not pure and are not right, maybe he's throwing depression into the mix. Those around us may not be able to see it, but God is right there, never sleeping, standing on guard constantly, and he sees those attacks. He'll be there to protect us. We see that another one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 91, says that he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You know, I'm reminded of a story that I was told as a small child that a fireman told about a wildfire that he was fighting in the desert out in California. And this fire had sprung up out of nowhere, and because of the winds that they were experiencing at the time, it just spread over thousands of acres very quickly. After they had got the flames put out and after everything had kind of died down, they started going out to try to find anything that they could to save, be it someone who managed to hide somewhere or find shelter somewhere, be it whatever it may be. And they came across, as the fireman was walking along, he saw a little lump of, looked like ash on the ground, and he kind of kicked it a little bit, and he realized that it was, at one time before the fire went through, had been a mother hen. And we see that when he kicked it, It rolled over, and there were her baby chicks underneath her, because she had given her life in defense of her chicks. So we see that's kind of the picture that we get with this psalm, or Psalm 91, when it says, "He shall cover you with his feathers." No matter what comes up against us, God will be right there. And not only will he be walking by our side, but he'll put his shield and his arms around us and to protect us. So we see the source of our help. We see the strength of our help. Thirdly and lastly, I want to look at the security of our help. Verse 7 says, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul." First of all, we see that we're preserved from evil. You know, I've talked a lot about temptations and things this morning, and I heard one pastor compare it to this. Our bodies are kind of like a volcano, because we see that at any moment, the sin that is from our old past and the sin that we've been trying to keep at bay and keep pent up inside of us at any time can just overflow and burst over, just like a volcano. We see that, as I spoke about last week, or not last week, at last time I was here a couple weeks ago, Romans 7 says that our old man and our old flesh is utterly depraved. It's useless. It's good for nothing except sinning. So how can we ever hope to live for God if we have that flesh upon us? We see that the answer lies, as I've already talked about this morning, in the Holy Spirit. Because when we're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, teaching us, telling us what's right, what's wrong. You see, because have you ever really noticed how easy it is to sin? If you're really honest with yourself, it requires no effort at all to simply do something that you know to be wrong. Why is that? First of all, we're, of course, born with worldly flesh that is bent in that direction. Secondly, we like it. I mean, it's simply that sin, for the most part, as the Bible says, has pleasure in a season. Perhaps we're good at it, as being of a fleshly nature. It's our nature to want to sin and to be good at sinning. But we see that the Lord helps us overcome, as this verse says, evil in this life if we have a desire to do that in our hearts. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He'll protect us from the evil one. You know, a lion is a very powerful animal. I had the opportunity when I was a senior in high school to go on a mission trip to Africa, and we were there for a couple months, but one of the last things that we did while we were there before we flew out, the missionaries we were with helping took us back into the city, and we took a bus out into a wildlife preserve and took a safari for a day. And I remember seeing for the first time a lion in the wild. You know, you see them in the zoos and things, and you just see them laying there kind of, they look like just a big cat. But when you see them walking around in the wild, you can see what this verse truly means, because he's walking around, head going back and forth, looking for his next meal. So we see the Bible tells us, and 1 Peter tells us, that that's the same way that our adversary, or the devil, is walking around. He's walking around like a big lion, ready to pounce on us and destroy us. Not only are we preserved from evil, but the last verse in this psalm says that we're preserved for eternity. It says, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, even from this time forth and even forevermore." The psalmist reminds us that the Lord will keep us while we're here. That's the coming out and coming in. And he'll continue this ministry through eternity, because it says he'll do it even forevermore. See, ours is a priceless, endless guarantee. You know, many times when you buy something today, especially electronics, the person who's selling it to you will try to sell you an extended warranty, because most things only come with maybe a year at the most warranty. But when you buy that new TV or whatever it may be, the person at the checkout will say, "Would you want to buy an extended warranty for $50 more? You'll get an extra year on your warranty." And I learned a long time ago that I always have bad luck when I buy those, because every time I've ever gotten an extended warranty, my warranty always expires on one day, and then the very next day is when my TV breaks or whatever it may have been. But we see that the guarantee that we are given in this psalm never ends. We didn't have to pay anything extra for it. It never ends. Lasts for all eternity. We are preserved, as this verse says, for all eternity. As I said, all of us are in a journey. For some, the road has been easy, or at least relatively easy. For others, it looks like the road has been hard. It's been long. There's been a lot of trials. There's been a lot of tribulations. You know, I know personally, even in my own family, I've seen loved ones of mine who have struggled for so many years with health problems and different things. And you look at it and say, you know, it just doesn't seem fair, because they're living their life for God, and yet they're plagued by so many different things. And yet, no matter how hard your journey may be, no matter what you may be facing, no matter what you may be going through, there's one there to help us. We've looked at the source of our help. We've looked at the strength of our help. Truly, He's the creator of the entire universe. You can't get much stronger than that. We've also looked at how long that help is going to last. The security. So we see we have a help. You know, I don't know what you may be facing. Maybe no one knows what you're facing except you. Maybe you think you're all alone. Just as that song that I sang earlier said, you know, maybe you sit by yourself and you cry because you don't think that anyone cares. You don't think that there's anything else that can be done. But yet, as that song says, as the psalm that we've looked at this morning says, there is one who cares. There's one who's there constantly, day in and day out. He sees our comings in, He sees our going outs. Psalmist says that He never sleeps because He's right there. So whatever you may be facing this morning, God is right there to help you. If you don't know Him this morning as your Savior, then you don't have the things that we've talked about this morning. You don't have that constant help there that you can call on at any time. You're wandering around in the darkness. And when a trial or a tribulation comes, there's nowhere for you to turn. He's right there standing with open arms, ready to welcome you in, if you'll just accept Him before it's too late. Brother Kevin.